welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the things we didn't get to during the course of the show today. It's good to be in. Betty Rock made it in under her own power today.
Thank you.
Let me tell you something. I was clinging to the robe. I mean, because the stairs that are leading out from my place were completely iced over. I had to hang on to the railing. And I mean, my soul could have easily departed from my body.
At least you remained upright. Like, I hit the ground so hard when I fell over the weekend on the ice in my driveway. And I'm like, I'm not decrepit yet. And so, I mean, I get hurt mountain biking and doing different things that I do. And I fell so hard. And I'm like, I see why old people break their hips. And me not being a milk candidate, because I don't drink much milk, it's going to be horrible. When I get to be in my 70s, I'm going to have brittle bone disease.
Did you say me not being a milk candidate?
Yeah, I don't like milk.
He's
milk's
lactose
not
intolerant.
No, don't get me on that again.
We're all talking about things that were referenced about in the first couple breaks from the show.
Yeah, so
if you're listening to the Aftercast first, you might be lost.
If you're listening, but if you listen to the other one, you're fine. If not, you're going to be ahead of the game. So anyway, I watched or I read a little thing on Ron DeSantis. So he was, and I say was, past tense, was vying for the presidency. Did you guys see that he dropped out of the race?
Mm-hmm.
So now it is down to Trump and Nikki Haley. And he did this 48 hours before the primary was set to happen in New Hampshire. And he said, you know, basically there's not a clear path to victory. And what's interesting about this, though, is that does that actually give Nikki Haley enough of a boost to take on Trump? I kind of don't think so, because DeSantis had like 21%. Nikki had 30. So this would, if she got everybody that supported him, mm-hmm. she would be in good shape to, you know, be head to head against Trump. But I don't think that's going to happen, because even DeSantis, this is what's so crazy about politics. DeSantis, through his support to Trump, the guy he's been maligning and is like, he's the worst, he's a scourge.
I don't get it.
And then he gives him his support. Well, here's why. I guarantee you this. The Republican Party is, we're in shambles right now. Like, this is a crazy world. And we Republicans need to beat Biden. If you believe in Republicans, if you know, you need that. And so what they do is they're like, look, you're splitting the vote too much. He can run away with this thing, but you're causing problems mm-hmm. with you and Nikki. We can't get rid of her yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you'll drop out, you know, or actually I think there's a contingency that probably want to make a run at challenging Trump. And they say, so if you drop out, then that'll help her have a chance at beating him. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then maybe we got something here. Cause there are people that are Republicans that don't want Trump. But then when he throws his support to Trump, what's interesting about that is I think that's DeSantis playing the long game.
No, for sure.
And going, I would like a position in a cabinet somewhere.
Oh, I see.
I did you a solid. Because politics is all about, you know.
One hand washes the other.
That's exactly it. And so I could see him going, well, I'm going to stay in it and keep fracturing this thing. And they're like, look, if you drop out, we'll try to give you something in the future, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing. So I don't know, man. It's so interesting. But me and my friends were talking about this just at lunch, because we'll talk about politics a lot. And it is fascinating still the hold that Trump has on the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I firmly believe it's because the left went so far left with
yes.
all their lunacy that mm-hmm. the right thinks the only way to combat that is to go all the way to the right.
Well, and I think, too, that there is no sugarcoating with Trump. Like,
yeah.
he just tells it like it is,
yeah.
and he doesn't care what other people
right.
think. And I think...
And a lot of people respond to that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of Republicans are tired of having to sugarcoat everything
yeah.
for the feelings of...
Oh.
Of the left.
The wokeness that we live in right now is insane to me. And the sensitivities you have to dance around. So, yeah, it is a welcome breath of fresh air for mm-hmm. a lot of people. But it will be 4 more years if he gets it. If he wins and he beats Biden, it is 4 years of just arguing and hate and anger all over your feeds again. The news will, they'll have news stories to do again that involve the president instead of like just coddling him. Mm-hmm. So they'll be doing that. It will be George Stephanopoulos from ABC is going to be the happiest he's ever been. Like, ah, good. Finally, I get to do some real news and let's get him.
I thought you were going to say that he was going to be the maddest he's ever been because he's not a Republican.
Well, he hasn't had anything. He can't, like, hey, I'd like to do a story about Biden not doing something good at the border. I'm sorry, we can't do that, George. We don't want to make Biden look bad. Ah, nuts. And he just goes back to his green room. So, like, he'll be so happy. And you know, the minute he gets the election, if he gets it, then they'll start impeachment process somehow. Because they'll bring up January 6th. They're like, mm-hmm. You should never have been. Like in Colorado, they kept him off the primary ballot. And so it's like, they'll be like, well, we'll use that as precedent. You should not be allowed to even be president. Here we go. And it's going to be a debacle. And so he's going to have to get in if he does and instantly give himself a pardon so that they can't get him. If I was him, I would do that. I'd be like, look, I'm going to pardon myself so that you can't come after me and we can't spend years on a witch hunt and I can actually run the country now. Mm-hmm. So they'll have to do that. It will be crazy. And the funny thing is, the Democrats, though, this is what's really funny. Let's say it's a close election. They can't say anything. They painted them into this January 6th corner about conspiracies and the election being stolen. They can't say, well, this election was rigged. It was stolen. It's not fair. Because they went after a man for that for the last 4 years. Mm. And so they're going to have to accept the results, even if they don't like them, which will be fascinating. So, again, I'm not even a Trump fan. Like, I'm not a Trump fan. I'm anti-Biden. Like, his policies on the border are devastating. Him wanting to go after National Guards members personally for defending the borders. The governors, like Abbott and other governors, are sending National Guard to protect the border. And he is crafting something to go after them personally with threats of jail and fines if guardsmen are enforcing the orders they are being told to enforce at the border. It is lunacy. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I'm just like, I'm done with this nonsense.
But I think, but what you just said there, I think is what a lot of Republicans are thinking is they're just sick of this nonsense.
Yeah.
They're done with it. And they want to see someone who's going to take the bull by the horns and they're going to do something.
The millions of illegals.
While he may not be the good.
He's not a good man.
Right.
Yeah.
Man for the job.
Yeah.
He gets it done.
The conversation I had with my friend last night was his dad is a Trump guy and his dad has a Trump jacket. Like, he's all in. Mm-hmm. And he's like, whoo boy. But he's like, he's talking to his dad. He's like, Dad, he's not a good man. But years ago, starting with, I think, around Clinton, we separated good man from good at the job.
Yeah.
There used to be an expectation that the president had to have character.
Mm-hmm.
And we've thrown that away.
Right.
Starting with about Clinton. I mean, you can make the case Nixon and all that stuff. But politicians have always had the outward appearance of having morals and values. And
someone you respect and look up to. Yeah.
And that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, starting with Clinton, and so on the Democrat side, and you've had people all on their side, and you've had tons of Republicans, George Santos and, you know, and Trump and all these guys that necessarily aren't good men per se. But to me, if I'm taking the good of the country, I would still choose Nikki Haley personally. Okay, so I'd like to see a woman run this thing, but if I'm taking Biden or Trump, if that's my only two options, I'm going to take Trump because I want to see us get back to some of our values and stop some of the lunacy, stop the drag show reading hours to children, stop pushing LGBTQ trans agendas on kids. Let adults do whatever they want. Don't care. Like, but stop that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But here was another conspiracy theory, which is interesting. Biden said he wants to run, and he only wants to run because he wants to beat Trump. That's all he wants to do. And so I could see a world where Biden, say he wins, he beat Trump, and he basically retires. He basically says, I'm not capable of doing this job, and the next in line gets it. That would be Kamala. That would be devastating.
But she doesn't necessarily have to be his vice president.
Not
right?
now.
In this next go-round.
The election, she doesn't have to be. He could pick somebody else. Mm. But if she's vice president and he steps out, then she would become president.
Yep.
That is like the same terror that the Democrats used against Republicans with lipstick. What was her name again? Alaska governor. Palin.
Yeah, Sarah Palin.
Maverick. We're just mavericks out here. But they were all like, if McCain dies, then we're stuck with her. And you don't want that. They put that fear. McCain was going to live. McCain was a baller. He survived Vietnam, man. Come on. And so, but that's the fear here is like, say he, like, Biden pieces out, then you're stuck with Kamala. So some people have theorized his best chance of getting elected would be to ditch Kamala Harris because she's not liked in the party. Yeah. She's not liked anywhere.
Yeah.
So to ditch her, bring in Michelle Obama as the vice president candidate, get into office, win the election, because I think he could then. Because people are thinking, oh, he's not going to, we don't want him. But, boy, if something happens to him or if he quits, she's in. Mm-hmm. He gets in. He takes a pay cut or he takes a deal from the party, steps down. She is de facto the president then. Hasn't had to run.
Can he do that?
Yeah. Yeah, he can either be declared incompetent. He could step down from the position because he says, I can't do this. My health is gone. So, like, all of a sudden, she gets in and doesn't have to run, doesn't have to get her hands dirty, and they get the first female black president, like, that actually is a smart woman, more so than Kamala. Like, Kamala's a disaster. And so, if you had that, what a scenario that would be.
You still think, like, if he did that and he dropped Kamala and took Obama, then he could win over Trump.
I think that's a possibility. I do think it's a possibility.
What's going on with like the Democratic Party though right now? Because I haven't seen any other candidates for that other like.
Well,
is it just de facto that it is only Biden?
No one's going to challenge him. No. They have the opportunity to, but no.
Wish we could see that. Like again, not that I'm right. Like, I would choose one or the other. Yeah. I'd go Republican, but I wouldn't mind just seeing a different option that's not.
Oh yeah,
hopefully a better one.
Yeah, they really should.
Well, what will be?
And he's so old.
Yeah, because he said he's going to run.
Take a nap, man.
I think they probably tried to talk him out of it, and then he was like, "No, I'm going to do it." And so it's a rubber stamp thing where they'll do the Democratic National Convention, and they'll be like, "And our candidate is Joe Biden," you know, and so everybody sees it coming. No one's challenged him, and so that's just it's going to be what it's going to be. But I have a feeling. In the weirdest, bizarro world way, we are going to see, if this was a movie, I wouldn't even believe it, a Trump and Biden rematch. I really think that's where we are headed, man.
Man.
Oh, what a weird world we live in. Huh?
I can't wait.
Oh, it's going to be glorious.
If it's those two old guys just going at it again.
I just want to read comments when, if Trump wins, all of the liberals that threaten to move to out of the country are going to be the best. And I thought about this today when I was driving in. I'm like, why do people go with that thought? I was getting myself all worked up. I was thinking of it from a psychological basis. Why do people say that? If he wins, I'm moving out. Because they, in their world, in their mind, that's the best way they have to articulate their extreme displeasure with the results of something they don't like. It's basically the adult version of a temper tantrum. And so that's what you do. You basically are saying, I'm so displeased with this. I'm leaving my country.
I'm running away from home.
That's exactly similar to
that.
Yeah, but when you look at the psychology of it, it's basically somebody trying to find a way to articulate how unbelievably mad they are at something that they can't articulate any other way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think is what the psychology behind that is. So anyway, well, that was mine. That was fun. Oh boy. What do you got, Rock?
I have 4 easy ways to burn calories.
Ooh. Yes, bring it. And
later.
One is to eat a quarter of a piece of bread.
So I made some toast this morning. And what I like to do is I use a spoon and I get clumps of butter and I just make clumps of butter on toast.
Your
and then
clumpy butter toast?
Ew,
I don't know what it is. You should start a food truck. It's Betty's Clumpy Butter Toast.
No.
It is so good. We can workshop the
put
name.
Put it in the oven on broil and you got pockets of butter. Anyway,
heaven on bread.
So I made 3 slices for myself. That's it. And I wasn't going to tempt anyone. I wasn't going to do or say anything. Yeah.
Well, by making it, you inherently.
Yeah, and oh by making gosh. Three when you're so tiny and can't possibly eat that much.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm sitting there minding my own business, and Wally comes sneaking in. He's like, hey, what you making?
Hey, girl. Oh, hey, girl, hey. That.
Well, if you eat like 2.5 and you find yourself full by then, like, don't push yourself. Like, I'll take that other half. And I was like, no, I don't want to be held responsible for making you fall off the wagon. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to do it. But then he just would not let it drop.
I couldn't. I could smell it.
So then I gave him not a half, but a quarter.
It was the most glorious piece of chunky butter toast, though. It was so good. I ate it slowly, trying to savor it. And so thank you for that. You saved a life today. You're an amateur first responder.
So that is one way not to burn calories. But maybe these you will find helpful if you're trying to lose some weight. The first one is sleep more. If you get enough sleep, it keeps your hormones in check and lowers levels of the stress hormone, cortisol. So when cortisol is high, you tend to stress eat. Enough sleep can reduce those urges and help you cut calories.
Interesting. Yeah, stress eating. We're talking about you eat for celebration, you eat for comfort. Stress eating, absolutely. Like, I get that, man. Like, we want a snack.
And if you think about it, too, if you sleep more, you might sleep through breakfast or sleep through snack time.
Yeah. Sleep your way right into depression.
Sleep away those calories. Another one is do some deep breathing before you eat. So when you're in fight or flight mode, your body wants to store calories instead of burning them. So a few deep breaths before dinner can calm you down and prevent it.
Does it put you into fight mode?
Let's say you've been fighting with the kids. The kids are like, I don't like that. What are we having for supper? Well, you're in a fight or flight situation. And so if you take a few calming breaths, you won't rush through your dinner and instead take your time.
Okay. Well, there you go. Or if you find yourself taking deep breaths because you're eating, you know you're out of shape and you need to work your diet. You're like just eating cereal. Like, I'm winded. I got to take a break.
I know I'm doing poorly when I'll tell a story and I'll kind of get through it and I'll deep breathe for a second. I'm like, man, am I tired from talking too long?
I hate meetings up the stairs because I'll get ambitious and I'll walk up the stairs and I felt like, oh, that was nothing. It's not like I'm like killing myself. And then I find myself at the top of the stairs walking into a meeting like breathing like a goldfish laying on a counter, you know, is what I feel like.
I stop at the top, especially because in the past I would go up and like going up to talk to somebody about something. And if I would start talking to them right away.
Yeah, you can't tell your story.
I'd be sitting there like, hey, we really need you to do that thing. And I just look so pathetic.
I was so happy, though, the other day as I watched Betty Rock walk up there and have a conversation with somebody. And she was winded, too.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay.
We are, you know, first floor people.
Yeah, we'll always be first floor people.
I'm built for the first floor.
Oh, that's funny.
I have two more. First, don't skip your chores. So if you vacuumed for 30 minutes, you can burn 100 calories or more.
Really?
Mowing the lawn?
It's not bad.
Mowing the lawn, you can burn 200.
And if it's sunny outside, you probably burn more. Sweat it through.
Yeah, instead of thinking of your chores as something you have to do, think of them as something you get to do.
Skip the gym.
When it's chores, where it's things you have to do, though, like, and you think, okay, I could burn some calories here, like, that's a better way of thinking about it than, like, I'm going to go run a mile, and they're like, okay, you just ran a mile, and guess what you just worked off? That one piece of chocolate you ate.
Yes.
Like, the math does not work.
Working
out to lose weight just solely and not changing your diet.
There's a lot more, I think, credence to like just living and enjoying, hopefully, an active lifestyle than getting this crazy mindset of I'm gonna do this for an hour a day.
And
I'm gonna like be gassed and tired, and that's gonna lead you to be maybe healthier per se, but I think you're gonna have less joy.
Mad.
Yeah, you're less joy if you're not looking forward to that hour of, you know,
look at Wally.
My wife looked so sad this week, like on Friday, because we had Friday off, and so it would have been easy to like splurge and get off the diet and stuff like that. And she was like, we'll wait till tomorrow for our cheat day.
Oh, Saturday.
But she looked so sad a couple times, and I'm like, it's okay. We could, you know what, we can have this. And she's like, no, and she stayed in it. And so she was the weak one this week. Last week, I was the weak one.
What made her weak?
I don't know. She's like, this is just not fun. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. It's not fun. It's not fun at all. And then when you're staring down the barrel of slower results, and then you're like, well, do I stay in this? Do I not? But then you undo what you've done, you know. And so,
what did y'all do on your cheat day?
That was the thing. We didn't go nuts. So that was a good thing because we always go out on Sundays with friends after church too. So we opted to not go nuts on Saturday and had like two basically half days. So it equals one cheat day kind of thing. So
that's math. My math.
Weight loss math.
Yeah, yeah.
Now
weight
that
loss
doesn't
math.
Count for I the like Coke it. Or the coffee that I splurge on, but yeah. We did a half cheat day yeah. here You've and done, a half cheat yeah. day there.
Perfect. You've done good with your coffees and Cokes though. Yeah, I mean, yeah. all of last week we were so held up that I feel like we didn't actually do.
Yeah.
Did we go? No. And I wasn't none of us went out for breakfast or anything.
I
wasn't
McDonald's.
We did McDonald's that one day, but I had half a McGriddle, but no Coke.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah, I went out. But like, yeah, but I didn't do Cokes during the week still, even at home. You know, I did it on I only had it on my like cheat day. And then I
think the problem though is that, you know, with not sticking to it, because there's no way you can stick to this for the rest of your life.
No, I can't. No.
And so there's gotta be a way to find a way to do this without making it so extreme.
That's what I was telling her. I said, I gotta get to the place where I'm happy with the result. But then I have to find the moderation where it's not like deny everything. Because she's like, I don't like where we just deny everything and life isn't fun.
Right.
And I'm like, I get that. And I'm being more extreme about it than like she would be because I'm just wired that way. And so I do understand that. And so for me, once I get there, it's that balance of maintaining and letting loose a little bit without letting go.
I think that there has to be, for dietary stuff to be fun but also still somewhat decent, you do still have to balance it with good like exercise.
Yeah.
That's the annoying part, because if you do exercise, you allow yourself the ability to, you know, eat more calories because you're burning them. But if you're trying to lose weight solely through food
and intake,
I think that that's going to lead you to those just annoying days.
Yeah, because it's not sustainable long term to go like where you're trying to lose weight and you cut your calories down to like under 2,000 or something. You know, and to do that long term, that is hard.
How far off do you think you are from your
goal weight?
I'm only 5 pounds off, I think, something like that. So, I mean, I could theoretically knock it out in a few weeks if I really hunkered down.
Do you have a dream range, though? Because I feel like people have like the one number, but like I'm content with a 10 pound like range when it comes to the perfect version of myself.
Like I'm sitting at 175 right now. Yeah, you're perfect the way you are. I'm sitting at 175 right now, and like I could be okay being at 175. Right. I don't want to be any heavier than that. I'd rather be 170.
Sure.
And so that's my goal is 170. Anywhere from seeing a 1.6 something in there would be great, even if it's a 1.698. like, I would be great. I think
that's a victory.
That's a win.
What's the heaviest you've ever been?
I was 181. And so that's a lot for me being 4'11". so that was the heaviest I've been in a long time. Mm. And it's not easy, too, because I run into people that I haven't seen in a while. And they're like, man, have you lost weight? I'm like, I'm the heaviest I've ever been. Like, you're lying to me. Like, you know, like, there's no way I look smaller, you know? And so, I don't know. I don't get it, but I'm trying. Mm. Still in it.
One more thing is if you talk on the phone, pace around.
I do that all the time.
Those steps will help you burn calories.
Yeah, I can't sit still and be on the phone. I have to walk. I'll walk outside. If I take a phone call in a restaurant, I walk outside so I can pace and not drive people nuts. I always do that. And it doesn't even have to be like a hard, like difficult, like stressful phone call either. I just do that. I walk around my house. Like if I'm not doing anything,
I
pace.
With the shoes on.
With my shoes on. Yeah, absolutely. You got any birthdays, Rock?
I do. I have Elijah the Great, older brother.
Love him.
Wants to wish his younger sister Meredith a happy birthday. She's celebrating today. He said Meredith is sweet, loving, and kind. She loves crafts, Star Wars.
Nice.
Star Wars Rebels.
That's a good show.
And her family. So that's cool.
Super cool.
Ashley, her husband Hagen.
Oh, I used to have a news guy named Hagen.
Huh. Celebrated a birthday yesterday, said he's an amazing husband who loves listening to the Wally Show and the
Hardcore
History Podcast.
I wish that was My Hagen, but I'm sure it wasn't because My Hagen was crazy as all get out.
he collects Hot Wheels,
nice.
Building Legos, and working on his 1967 Cougar.
Ooh, nice. Mm. Definitely not my Hagen. My Hagen news guy collected hand grenades, and oh, I'm not making it up. Yeah.
Was he married?
No.
Oh, gosh, that's scary.
Yeah, yeah. He was, you know, he was a scary piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
We did a thing one time at a haunted house. We did a live broadcast from a haunted house where we stayed overnight in this haunted house, and I hated it. I didn't want to do it. They were doing.
Can you imagine Gavin? We yeah. should. When Halloween rolls around, we should take Gavin through a haunted.
Like Ellen used to do with her producer.
And have a camera on him.
Oh my gosh!
But we didn't choose a scary one because we did one last year that was like that. But you, they had us shoot paintballs at them. Too.
Oh yeah, the one down Miller's Thriller.
That one, it's so not so much freaky because you have the weapon, but
that's good.
If you don't have anything to defend yourself with.
No, you can be like Wally when he took that. He was with his daughter
and her friend.
And they were both 16.
It was at the same place.
And he let the 16-year-old guard him from
No, I didn't let her guard me. I pushed her in front of me and held her in front of me. Like, Savannah will never be the same.
So funny.
But we went to this supposedly real haunted house, and they did a seance and everything. I hate that stuff.
I don't mess with that.
I hate that stuff. But Hagen decided to get drunk because this was a mainstream show. So Hagen is in this haunted house drunk, walking up and down the halls with an axe, yelling to God or the devil to do their worst.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. Like this, I mean, this was the guy like I worked with, you know. But
that
boy,
he even kept a job is amazing.
Oh, he was so good at his job.
What was his job?
He was our news guy. He was really good. Like, we couldn't find anybody better than him.
How old was he at the
time? Oh, at the time, let's see, I was in my 20s, my late 20s, and he was probably 35, 40 by then.
Oh my gosh. Is he still alive?
I doubt it.
He sounds like he has some big issues to work out.
But I love that guy. I like all the messes, man. Like, some of the messes were my best friends.
Scary.
All right.
No.
What else?
Not all right.
All right, what else?
Ashley has a few would you rather questions.
Okay, I got to do them quick because I have to jump in a meeting.
Oh, that's right. Okay, one for each of us. Gavin, Harry Potter or Star Wars?
Harry Potter.
What?
Yep.
Wow, that was quick.
No, wow, yeah, you didn't even hesitate. House of Griffin, I did. Gryffindor.
Okay, Wally.
But
you have to either pick your creativity or eating sugar.
Oh. That's a really good question. I'm gonna go sugar.
Really?
Yeah, because I love sugar so much. What my plan would be then is to just keep creative people around me, like you guys, and then I would just be the straight guy, and I'd settle to not be funny anymore, and be like, okay, and I'm like, hey, what'd you guys create today?
While he's eating candy.
Well, I mean, it's like mouthful of caramels. We couldn't hear you. Your mouth is full of caramels.
Just deep breathing over there.
Big problem.
I do have a big problem.
And then mine's, she said, Bucky's or Catfish Camp.
Ooh, tough call.
This is a tough call.
Yeah,
I have to think about it, but I think I'm going to settle on I'm
Bucky's.
Keeping Catfish Camp.
Oh, nice.
Because Catfish Camp is a once, it's you can't recreate that.
Yeah,
is
that's
amazing.
Fair.
Yeah.
And it's where I either want to be married
or
buried.
Why not both?
And while Bucky's is great.
Yeah.
I have to share it with a lot of people.
Right. No one knows about
crowded.
Catfish Camp.
Super busy.
Catfish Camp is just like a piece of heaven.
You've
that
got some memories there.
I do.
Yeah. You and your parents.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
I would love to do a show outing to Catfish Camp. We could do like a show lunch.
Yeah.
Can we do that one time?
Fun.
Would you let us go to
should.
Catfish Camp with you?
Yeah.
We would tartar your...
Are you paying?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, maybe. Probably.
If you're paying, yeah.
Let's bring Danny Ray, because your money's no good here, Sailor. Ours too, Danny Ray.
We're like the sons you never had,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, come on, Danny Ray.
Thanks, Dad.
All right, that's going to have to do it for your Aftercast, and as always, thanks for being a potty.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.